This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Joy 94.9 is a GLBTIQ community radio station in Melbourne, Australia. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
There is a queer angle to every issue, and we will find it. But don't expect us to be nice or politically correct. Nothing is sacred, and the team will be finding the queer and profane wherever we can on Joy 94.9. Is Nothing Sacred?
Hello and welcome to Is Nothing Sacred. You are on Joy 94.9, one of the special midsummer editions, which is very exciting. So I've just decided right here and now what a midsummer edition means. It means that it's a bit more fun. So it's going to be not so serious. We're not going to talk about, you know, anything too technical.
We do no sometimes politics do, that'll annoy
no,
us.
No politics that will annoy us. We won't hate on anyone. We're not going to talk about like how vigorous HIV is in particular trials. No. We're just going to talk about midsummer. We're going to talk to some interesting people, find out what's happening, meet some new people. Speaking of which, in the studio today, we have myself. I'm Steph. Hello. And James. Hello, James.
Hello, hello.
And Rory. Hello, Rory.
Hi.
Welcome. Hooray.
Now, Rory has come in especially today from Safe Schools Coalition, or been
among many other things.
Among many other things, indeed.
Yes. So Jim is still in New Zealand. If you're a regular listener, you may know our co-host Jim. He's still gallivanting around. So our show started with a bit of a battle of the generations with, you know, Jim probably twice our age, I'd say. But in his absence, we thought, let's try something different. Let's get someone younger in and see how that goes. So welcome, Rory. Woo!
Young people represent.
Can you just, like, validate how old you are so that you can show I'm not making it up?
Oh, I'm 20.
Yes!
So good.
So good. Old.
Youngin.
I've already had an existential crisis. Quarter-life crisis.
There's many more to come.
Indeed.
But first, very soon we're going to be talking with the mayor of Moonee Valley all
we
about
have
yeah it's love pretty it. Exciting so and a mayor good. Who's willing to talk to us at 10 o'clock at night, thank you so much, about some of the things happening west side in midsummer.
Here are some benefits you could gain by becoming a Joy 94.9 sponsor. Increase awareness of your product. Increase your customer base. Increase your profits so you can afford that new item you've had your eye on. You know the one I mean. Gregory sponsors Joy and now his business is just peachy. Isn't that so, Gregory?
Yes, well, I've...
Ha-ha! Wonderful! Dial today, 1-300-JOY-949 or send your mail electronically. sales@joy.org.au. That's A-U as in A-U. Sponsor Joy.
We have Councillor Andrea Sorace. Are you there?
Yes, I am here.
Hello. Thank you so much for speaking with us. You're the Mayor of Moonee Valley, is that right?
And, yes, I am.
And I hear that there's lots of great events happening in your area for the Midsummer Festival. Can you tell us a bit about some of those events?
Yes, I'm happy to do that. Actually, Moonee Valley are very involved in the Midsummer Festival. We actually have a powerful photographic exhibition which is called All You Need Is Love, which is by Lisa White, and that will be exhibited this coming Friday, the 22nd of January, until the 15th of February at our Incinerator Gallery.
Fantastic.
About this exhibition?
Yeah, absolutely. Sorry, Andrew, we lost you there for a sec. For those of listening that would be interested in coming, what would you say? Have you actually seen the exhibition yourself yet, or is it, what would you say, people should expect?
Okay, so basically what it is, it's a photographing exhibition of families in an intimate setting of their beds. So the images basically shine a light on the diverse forms that the family unit can take, and it challenges the heteronormative perceptions of families in Australia. So it's 24 images of lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, intersex and queer families, and their supporters will be accompanied by the families personal stories and views of family and equality for visitors to read. The photographer Lisa White said that the idea for the socially driven images came from the John Lennon and Yoko Ono's Peaceful Bed In For Peace mm-hmm. protest in 1969. So some people may remember that or know of that. a lot wouldn't, but...
We certainly know who they are.
We do know who they are, yeah. I think we're all young'uns in the studio here tonight.
I'm young at heart, but I...
can you tell us, why do you think it's important to have these kinds of images, like these different representations of people and families on display?
Look, I think it aims to improve the access and equity and most importantly probably acknowledge and celebrate our LGBTIQ community and families. There'll actually be a bed on display which will be called All You Need Is Love, and visitors can interact and they can lay on the bed and have their own photo taken and share them on social media or however they like. And I think it's just very different. It's quite diverse from the normal types of exhibitions that you go to. So we actually have a booklet that shows 24 families that have already taken, that Lisa's done photos of, and they're quite diverse and it's quite interesting and it's just, it's absolutely beautiful, to be honest, and it's something really worthwhile having a look at. We'll also be having another display of stories and images, which goes back to our rainbow stories from May last year, and that will also be in the Bodil Hall, which is at the Incinerator Gallery, alongside of All You Need Is Love. So a bit of an interaction of different types of exhibitions, but this is certainly something that's most diverse and most different within our municipality, and Mini Valley are very much behind Gay Pride. We're being involved in the Pride March as well, which is coming up on the 31st of January. So, yeah. We're all about it.
That's awesome.
That's so good. Well, it's also very, it's always nice to be able to go to a gallery exhibition where it is a little bit interactive. So that certainly sounds like fun being able to jump on the bed and join in on the exhibit itself.
As long as you don't fall asleep and getting on there.
That's so going to happen. That is so going to happen.
Yeah, of course it will.
The guards will have to be trained.
Yeah, they will. Look, I'm sure we'll probably have, you know, time limits there. It should be really an interactive thing, and I just hope that we get a lot of people there that, you know, will take some photographs and different families that will come along and just see how important something like this is and it's shared amongst the community.
Absolutely. And Andrea, yeah. How important do you feel that council's role plays in, you know, supporting the LGBTIQ community? Do you feel that they have a quite an important role?
I do. Last year in June, we endorsed our very first LGBTIQ action plan, and that aims to improve access, equity, and most importantly, acknowledge and celebrate our LGBTIQ community and families. So we believe in a universal equality and that no one should face discrimination because of who or whom they love. So we've sort of set the wheels in motion with our action plan. As I mentioned before earlier, in May 2015, we launched our Rainbow Stories in the Valley, which was stories of people in our community of Moonee Valley who identify as either lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, intersex and queer. So, as I said, those stories will be displayed in the Bodil Hall at the Incinerator, along with the All You Need Is Love exhibition. So we have people of all ages and stages and how they deal with things in their lives, and this has all been incorporated into our action plan. We're continuing to collect stories from members of Moonee Valley to add to our display in libraries, exhibitions and events. So we ask that any interested listeners or Moonee Valley listeners or anyone for that matter, they can visit our Moonee Valley website, which is the mvcc.vic.gov.au/LGBTIQ to find out more information. Last year we had the rainbow flags at various locations during the midsummer and it was a symbolic gesture of our support. So this year we'll probably be doing the same with a giant rainbow flag at the Incinerator exhibition, and people can actually write messages of love and support on them. So we're sort of stretching that out a little more. And the flag will also be displayed at our Moonee Valley Festival, which you guys have got to come along to.
Yes.
It's on the 28th of February. It's a huge event. It's fabulous. It's really good. So that's on a Sunday, the 28th of February, as part of our Rainbow Tent. So, yeah, we're very much into it.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
That's so great. It certainly sounds like that, yeah, Moonee Valley is leading the way in some areas, being such a great example.
Watch out.
We are. Look, we've got a really active council, Councillor Cam Nation, who's very supportive and very involved in this, and he's been fully supportive behind the LGBTIQ action plan, and it's great to see that that's now come forth with Moonee Valley. We'll also probably be joining our neighbouring councils under the Go West banner at the annual Pride March, as I mentioned earlier. And for the second year, council will fly the rainbow flags, as I said, probably around Racecourse Road and the Quok Tower, our transfer station, Civic Centre. So they'll be sort of in various places around the municipality.
That sounds great. And is the council website the best place to go to find out about all these events?
It would be the best place to go, yes. And thank you for inviting me to speak about this on your program as well.
No worries at all.
So definitely. So the Midsummer Festival is kicking off with us on 22nd of January with the All You Need Is Love exhibition. Then we have Melissa Langton and Mark Jones, which is Me and Mrs. Jones, which is part of the Midsummer Remix. That's at our Quok Tower Centre on the 30th and 31st of January. And we've got Dolly Diamond Alive and Intimate at the Quok Tower Centre on the 6th and 7th. I've got my tickets. Yeah.
She's a regular around here.
I'm actually on Saturday week, I'm actually one of the judges for the Miss Queer and Miss Transgender. I think it is at the substation. So that'll be fun.
It'll be a tough choice, I'm sure.
I'm sure it will, but I've got a good eye, so I'm sure it'll be very well worth it. It'll be very competitive, though, I am sure. Yeah, it's the Miss Transsexual Australia event, Miss Gay and Miss Transsexual Australia event. It'll be good.
That's great. Thank you so much for talking with us tonight. I know it's quite late and I'm sure you've got lots of work to do.
I'm in the process of doing so many other things and there's always paperwork to read through, so not a problem.
We very much appreciate it. And
hopefully we'll see you Friday night.
Yes.
Yes. And we'll have this podcasted. Thank you, James, for podcasting. So all our podcast listeners that will get that up as soon as possible so that they'll have time to get to all of these great events.
Wonderful. Absolutely fantastic. So you tell them to get onto our website.
We certainly will.
Follow through.
We'll pop a link on our page as well.
Fabulous. Fantastic.
Thanks for your time, Andrea.
Thank you.
Have a good night. Pleasure. All right, that was a fantastic interview there with Andrea. We are now going to go to some short messages and then we'll be right back in the studio with Rory for some more chats. Ooh. Rory's still here with us.
I am. I have a step down from a mayor, I think.
Oh, no, it would be a lot of fun. All righty, you're listening to Is Nothing Sacred on Joy 94.9.
You can find more Joycasts and show blogs. Go to joy.org.au.
Hello, you are on Joy 94.9. You're listening to Is Nothing Sacred. We've been chatting with the Mayor of Moonee Valley, Andrea Cerace, about...
And what a delight.
So lovely. They're doing so many good things, which is very exciting. Lots happening for Midsummer. So check out the Moonee Valley website. I've already forgotten what it is, but you can look it up on the internet using your favourite search engine. But now, bit of a change of pace. We have Rory in the studio. Hello, Rory.
Hello.
So Rory is so many people. he's a volunteer with Minus 18 with the Standout Network, interning with Safe Schools Coalition Australia, has moved down from Sydney to become a Melbourne student. So where do we start? Should we start with Rory was born 20 years ago and then what happened?
Okay. Oh, big thing. Well,
you can jump ahead.
Yeah. Okay. So basically... where my story kind of begins and kind of why I came down to Melbourne started in high school. So as Steph was saying, I now volunteer with Minus 18 and work with Safe Schools. But before then, like a little lost, a little queer in high school. Aww. And I think I literally wiki-howed how to know if you're gay. And
was it good advice?
I had a checklist. It was not the best course of action. Definitely don't recommend. Because it kind of, in that point of my life, I kind of looked at categories and really closely at labels to see if I kind of fit within that. And I think later on, and especially meeting a whole lot of people, and my first Mardi Gras when I was in year 12 in particular, like I kind of realized you don't actually have to fit a box at all. You can just be you, and it's fantastic. So you'll always meet people that have similar experiences or just really support you no matter who you are. So yeah, so in year 12 I came out as gay, not really wanting to disclose my gender identity, and also just heavily hiding behind the dresses and being like, yes, at least this is one part of my life I can live out confidently. And it really wasn't until I took a gap year after year 12 and I volunteered. I thought I was volunteering, actually got paid for doing coming out stories in high schools with Family Planning New South Wales, which are now Safe Schools New South Wales. So with them, I started telling my story and my coming out story and realized there was this whole other part of my identity, like the gender side of things that I just completely ignored. And so I think throughout that year, I kind of slowly integrated gender into my... Actually, I'm not really gay. I am all sorts of things. I am also trans, and you know, and I ended up doing my coming out story in front of a whole lot of people at New South Wales Parliament House.
Wow.
Yeah, and I kind of got up there. See, I pretend I'm confident. So in high school, I could not do speeches at all. And then for some reason, in my gap year, I just took my acting kind of role and went, I'm just going to pretend I'm really confident and pretend I'm really good at speaking, and suddenly end up in front of all these people. And I was like, I'll either do really well or I'll choke. I didn't actually forget my speech. I always do this. I always forget my speech. So I have to write it down on the bus or something right before I'm doing it. So I did that again in dot points in front of, like, you know, Human Rights Commissioner Tim Wilson and all like the media there, and Jano and the CEO of Foundation for Young Australians. And I did the speech, and I think it was good. People cried. I was assuming, out of the emotional thing for my speech, they could have just literally been on their Facebook and decided that they saw something sad.
A really cute puppy.
Yeah, yeah. You know,
they all saw it exactly the same
for
time.
Sure. Yeah. And then afterwards, Jan came up to me and was like, hey, do you want to intern with us down in Melbourne? And I was like, yeah, sure, I'll give it a go.
You were very gutsy.
Well, I was on a gap year. I was a bit lost, I think, as a person as well at the time, because I was kind of saying yes to everything, traveling. Actually, the subject to change, which is the, I don't know if you guys have heard of it, but the new LGBTI plus show, I actually was on their like team talking about ideas and running them through themes and how to talk young people. So I did that as well at the time. And so when the idea of moving to Melbourne, I was like, yeah, I'll think about it. But then when I was away overseas, my girlfriend at the time was like, yeah, I think I'm going to England for 9 months next year. And so slightly out of spite, I applied for the University of Melbourne. Going, well, if you're going to go to England, I'm just going to go to Melbourne. And then I did. So I moved to Melbourne. Just as a disclaimer, I'd never been to Melbourne before, and I knew no one down in Melbourne.
Oh my gosh.
I didn't have a place to live, so I was crashing on someone's couch because my dad was like, oh, you'll see more when you're down there. So before then, just crash in a family friend's house on their couch. And I was like, okay. So I remember being here for White Night. It was my second night in Melbourne. And I was literally at home alone being like, oh God, what have I done? But it turned out really, really well. And so interning with FYA, I've now been there for almost a year, and working really closely with the Safe Schools Coalition Australia, and also Victoria, the meeting people from Minus 18, and kind of went along and did a speech at a high school with them. And then now I'm volunteering with their standout group, which is pretty awesome. And it's been great because over the past year, I've really been able to explore my own gender identity as well, and partially being out of the house, but just being surrounded by so many amazing people. So I changed my name and now using he, him pronouns. And now I'm like, what's the next step? Yeah, I actually managed to have a really good conversation with my parents about it too. So life is pretty good. I'm really, really, really happy. And yeah, now I'm on a radio show. So
moving up in the world.
Exactly. Yeah.
So, did you have people around you to support you at the time, coming out as gay at school and then coming out as trans, with your family, or was there a bit of adjustment period for people?
It's interesting because, I think All my friends, because I actually moved high schools in year 10, so when I first told people that I liked girls, I was in year 8 and 14, that was awful. One of the girls actually told my entire friend group not to speak to me, so yeah, I know. My year 9 year was not that fun, but it was fine. I moved schools in year 10, and the people at my school were just so diverse and really accepting. So when I came out as gay, I've always wanted a gay best friend, and I was like the token gay, so everyone wanted to take me to their parties and, like, you know, go to formal. Everyone was like, oh my god, it's like the gay couple, oh my god. No, and like I think I just got so many likes to my profile picture because people didn't want to appear homophobic, but yeah, it was great. And I think all my friends then I'm still really close with, and they're totally supportive now. It's really amazing just seeing how many people actually really want to learn things as well. So people who aren't involved with the community, and they ask questions, and they're really tactful, and it's so nice, I think, to have allies everywhere. And yeah, it's so good. So yeah.
So good. It is funny that thing, because I remember the same thing happened to me in first year uni, that my straight friends were whinging, saying things like, you know, I have to work so hard to be different, and you just automatically get to be different because you're gay. I'm like,
yes. You get that. You do get that. I mean,
because it's quite, I think it's flattering, but it's
also not. You know,
how do you respond to that?
Oh, you get so, I mean, the best question as well, like, I think when you first kind of come out, you get like, you know, the, oh, so, you know, when did you know and all that stuff. And the other one you get is like, so who do you find attractive and stuff? And you're going, oh god, like, have you ever found me attractive? Have you ever had a crush on me? And there's no right way to answer that question.
Because
if you say no, then they're like, what, offended. I'm not attractive. And if you say yes, but so my tact is to say, oh, we're just really close friends, and like, I don't see you that way. It works reasonably well.
We are going to go to some messages, but we will be right back. If you have any questions for Rory, you can SMS us on 0427 join 949. That's 0427 569 949. You can also email us. The address is onair, one word, at joy.org.au.
At Joy 94.9, there are approximately 300 volunteers bringing you over 75 shows, 24 hours per day, 7 days a week. That's a lot of facts and figures to take in, but here's one more number for you to think about. 1-300-569-949. That's the number to call to talk to the Joy sales team about becoming a Joy sponsor. One phone call can get your business on air and online, reaching thousands of Joy listeners at a price you can afford. 1-300-JOY-949. That's 1-300-569-949.
Whatever your tastes, you'll find it weeknights on Joy 94.9. Something for everybody.
And we're back. I'm so happy I got to announce that. I'm Rory, and I'm joining Steph and James. 94.9, Nothing is Secret. That was my song that I chose, Hiatus Coyote, Nakamura.
Very good choice. Oh. And now we believe they're an Australian band as well.
Yeah, and I went to see them last year. It was amazing. Such a good live show. Oh, 10 out of 10. I'm converting everyone to good music. I'm enjoying this.
Great. That's what it's here for. Yeah.
We're very happy to be
converted. We always like that we get complete say on our music. It's one of the other great things of being on a relatively late time slot.
So if you've just tuned in, Rory has recently moved down from Sydney to Melbourne. So it sounds like you're converted.
I'm completely converted. Yes. I mean, the one thing I do miss, like, I'm such a beach person. Mm.
Beaches is good.
Like, right up in the northern beaches up in Sydney. So I do miss that. But coffee is so much better. And you guys actually have a planned city. Nice public transport. I can list these things forever. It's just, I'm so converted to Melbourne. And I have not checked out, like, a quarter of the brunch spots that I know.
That's the thing. By the time you check out a quarter of them, like, they would have changed, and then you have to start all over
again. All my money's gone. It's like, do I go back to my favorite place and get my favorite thing, or do I go to my favorite place and get something else? Do I go somewhere? That's just ridiculous. Too much choice. And this is first world problems 101.
Yeah. It's the challenge of Melbourne. The other challenge of Melbourne is when you travel and you try the food and you're like, oh, it's all right.
Yeah. No, I'm such a coffee snob. I go up to Sydney and it's like, oh, you're using Campos. Nice try.
Speaking of people not in Melbourne, we have got a message saying thanks from London.
Wow.
Hey guys, I'll be visiting your beautiful city for my best mate's birthday and to attend Midsummer. Yay! Been listening to your station for a week already. Awesome. Excellent. We love international listeners. Thanks for putting me in the mood for party time and to warm me up already. Yeah, here it's 30 degrees. No, 22 degrees, but it's nearly midnight. Yeah. I'm sure it's much cooler in London. Winky face from freezing London. See you in a week, Blue X. Aww. Thanks, Blue.
I was literally in London like a week ago too.
Wow.
I know. I spent like Christmas in the UK, so... I don't know. I don't know if it's any better here, though. I came back and I was like, oh, 40 degrees, really? Like, really?
I think that day we went 40 degrees and then we went down to like 60.
Oh, yeah, it was ridiculous.
That's Melbourne.
Like, welcome back. I came in the day before and I was like, this is, yeah, welcome back to Melbourne.
So we've been talking about your story,
yep.
Coming out as gay in high school and after a bit of a rough patch, then that kind of worked out.
Yeah, it did.
And then coming out as trans more recently.
Yeah.
Can you tell us, I guess, a bit about that process? Like, when did you realize and how did that feel and what did you do?
Interesting. It's so interesting when people say, you know, when did you realize? Because I think there's always a part of you that knows, but it's almost like trying to, it's like, I always describe it as you have to realize that the red you're seeing is different to the red someone else is seeing. And then you have to kind of figure out how to describe it. So I guess the trans stuff, it's such a cliche to say that I've always known, but like, I was 3 years old and I told my mum's best friend, hey, I'm a boy. And she goes, oh, you can't be a boy. You're a tomboy. And I was like, okay, that's fine. And just like three, I was like, yeah, that's cool. And it kind of, and to me, like as a kid, like I was just a complete guy, like, always had short hair, always just, you know, so stereotypical. I don't like being in the binary, but you know.
You're still you.
I know, exactly. And then I think puberty was really the decider when I was just like massively in the closet, because I think to me, if you're perceived as female, suddenly being masculine is like not viewed as attractive, or at least that was a vibe I kind of got from people around me and like the media and society. So it kind of took me right up until 17 where I was actually able to say, yeah, I'm gay. And everyone was kind of like, oh yeah, we knew. My boyfriend was a little bit surprised, but you know, as you would be. And then I think when I came out as gay, I always knew that it wasn't the label for me. But I just thought, oh, I'll never be able to actually live my life as a guy. I'll never be able to live my life as me. Which is kind of really depressing now saying it, but like, I just honestly, I'd never met anyone else who was trans. And like, I knew of people on the internet and YouTube, but you know, you can't really associate yourself with that. And like, my mum's reaction when I was gay was like, oh my gosh, you know, what is your life going to be? Like, and I was like, oh, she's reacting like this now. What's going to happen later? But it was really funny. She actually had the exact same reaction when I came out as trans, but I'd been so prepared for it because I was like, this is the same thing as when I was gay. And she took about 6 months then and then was totally supportive, like amazing. And then I think, as I said, moving to Melbourne and kind of meeting all these people and being like, yeah, actually, I'm not really gay. I'm actually, I don't know what sexuality, but I'm definitely trans. And I cut my hair, and I think that was the biggest thing. My partner cut my hair for me, actually. And I think they'll get me if I don't say that. And I think that was my biggest thing, because for so long I'd, you know, worn dresses, grew my hair out, really tried to be feminine, and suddenly being able to cut my hair and wear what I wanted and be like, use pronouns that I felt comfortable with, actually using Rory at like a workplace setting, like FYA and safe schools, it was just so incredible, because it was just like I could be validated by so many different people. And so I did kind of talk to my parents in October when I came up around my birthday, and I was like, hey, fun fact, I'm not a girl. The doctors got it wrong at birth. And mum was a bit like, and did her whole like crying thing. And you know, her main question, it was just interesting conversations. My sister actually instigated it, and because she was like really pushing the whole like calling me Rory and using he, him pronouns. My mom's going, what's with the whole Rory thing? And I was like, well, yeah, fun fact. And my dad was actually really sweet. He kind of did the whole crying thing, going, you always learn more from your kids. And I was like, oh dad, don't cry. Like, I'm holding it together, but like, oh my God. And so, then when I went to the UK with them over Christmas, I was like, yeah, this is still a thing. And like, I'm actually looking into changing my names, maybe going on hormones. And like, mum had a bit of a meltdown, but it has actually been so supportive and has come right around being like, I know, like, I react badly, but I'm here for you, and, you know, financially, you know, emotionally, I'm all here. Aww. I was like, oh, and she's calling me Rory, and, you know, it's really nice.
Oh. Why do you think people are, because you were saying before about how you felt like as a teenager you had that pressure to dress in a particular way, have long hair, or else you weren't seen as attractive.
Yeah.
Why do you think people are so obsessed with, like, because I agree that to be, you know, to be a woman and to be seen as not like feminine, and to be a man, to be seen as not masculine is like a bad thing.
Yeah.
Why?
I have no idea. I mean, we always talk about the gender binary, but, and it's so ingrained in our society, like, to categorize, and, like, I guess you could look at it from all sorts of historical positions and go, oh, it's like Foucault's sexuality, like, why we're so, you know, heteronormative in society, and go back to, it was just obviously like a lot of religious but also Victorian kind of ideals about marriage and basically procreation. So I guess that's a really big point, and I think we've always been really big on categorizing people, and obviously what is attractive has changed a lot over the time. And I think we're still, even though I think we have come so far and progressed, and we now like talk about all sorts of different ways to express masculinity, femininity, and all sorts of like ways to express gender, I think we're still so ingrained in like that binary. And even just going to the bathroom, I struggle with that so often, because I don't feel safe sometimes going to the male bathroom, because I'm like, what if I'm not perceived as male? But then I also don't feel safe going to the female bathroom, because I'm like, what if I don't, you know, what if people get weirded out there? So it's like, even just simple things in society, we just have it all the time and we don't think about it. And in advertising and everything, like just pink, blue and bags, and who's like, and I think you can talk about this from a feminist perspective as well, like who is having the career in an ad. And my dad always talks about, you know, you never ever see a house dad, like it's always seen as such a negative thing. And I think we do have to just question why, because when you actually get down to it, there's no real reason. It's just the way we've kind of done it for so long. And actually we don't need to, like there's no need for it in society anymore, and it's actually quite harmful.
Mm-hmm.
So
definitely harmful. We're going to go to some messages. If this is something you have a view on, something you've experienced, if you just want to rant about binaries, which I often do, you can SMS us on 0427JOY949. That's 0427 569 949. You can also email us, which is onair, one word, at joy.org.au. It's 16 minutes to 11.
You can find more Joycasts and show blogs. Go to joy.org.au.
Do you have a business, product or service that needs to be seen and heard? Become a Joy sponsor and get the best of both worlds. Have your message heard on air by 329,000 monthly listeners. Have your message seen online at joy.org.au via the Joy sponsorship directory. Sponsorship starts from as low as $295. And best of all, those who sponsor us for more than 1 month are featured on our listing free. Yes, free! Call 1-300-JOY-949 or email sales@joy.org.au for more details. Joy 94.9, the diverse voice of the GLBTI community.
Hello, you are on Joy 94.9. You're listening to Is Nothing Sacred? And we've been speaking with Rory about coming out, about inclusive schools, about how much better it is to be 14 in a school compared to even 6 years ago.
Yeah.
Because of all the support that schools have now, thanks to programs like Safe Schools Coalition and the Standout Network. We are nearly out of time. Maybe do you have one word of advice, parting message?
Oh, okay.
Wisdom. Now that you're like way older than 18.
Oh, yeah, way older, like 2 years older. Amazing. I guess just in general, I think it's really important for people just to be, it's so cliche to say, be true to yourself, but, you know, not worry so much about trying to fit a category, about trying to label yourself. Just there is support out there. And it's okay to be confused, but it's also okay to be happy and to not let things, you know, drag you down and not let things take over your life. And
yeah, everyone's, you know, beautiful.
this is a tricky bit, you know, ending.
Rory, thanks so much for coming on. I'm going to say as well that I reckon that personal stories, and particularly obviously that you've told to schools, they can change
the world.
They can really change the world and really influence whole cohorts, whole schools. So I think that's the message that I took home from today, that you know, by actually being confident in yourself, being able to share your own story, then you can influence a lot
and make things better and safer for others.
Exactly.
Thank you also so much to the Mayor of Moonee Valley, Councillor Andrea Serace, for talking to us all about the Midsummer Programs out west. And it sounds great. Check it out. You can find out more information on the Moonee Valley website. And I think it's just about time to say
adios.
Good night. Goodbye. Adios. We're going to have some more Midsummer-themed programming next week. It's been great hanging with you.
You too, sir. We'll be back next week.
Thank you, Rory.
We're not going anywhere. And Jim will be back soon, but not quite yet.
No, not quite yet. He's still gallivanting around in New Zealand.
What a holiday.
And this chair is really comfy, so I'm just considering just staying.
Well, good, because you're on the night shift.
Yeah. That's fine.
Jim, watch out. You're listening to Is Nothing Sacred on Joy 94.9.
Good night.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.